title of the message today, as I shared with you last week, we're going to go into a series of messages speaking about development of our walk with the Spirit. And so I've titled today's message, Walking with the Spirit. And I'd like to begin out with this phrase of choose this day. And you'll recognize this from Scripture. You know, remember Moses with the children of Israel, he spoke to them about making this choice, choose between blessing and cursing, between life and death. He said, choose today. And so, you know, God gives us the free will. He gives us the ability to choose. Also remember Joshua when he said, choose this day who you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so the Lord is always offering up to us choice. He's given us the free will and the ability to choose. And today what I want you to make a choice between is who are you going to be ruled by, or who will you be controlled by? Will you be controlled by the Spirit or by the sinful nature? That really is a choice left up to us. And we'll look beginning from Romans chapter 8 and verses 1 through 17. Very little scripture am I putting up on the screen today. So I hope you brought your Bibles. You should bring them every week. Don't get lazy just because sometimes I do put the scriptures up on the screen. It's always good for you to have your Bibles, always good for you to be following along, always good to compare translations, how they use different words, and always good to make sure that the pastor's not leading you astray. All right, so Romans chapter 1, starting with verses, I'm going to start with verses 1 through 8. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was able to save us the law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own Son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his Son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. Let me toss out to you a few of the notes here before we continue on. This speaks about either being dominated by the sinful nature or controlled by the Spirit. When we are dominated by the sinful nature, these are the results of that. It says we're going to think about sinful things. That's what your mind will always be geared towards, sinful things. It says that it leads to death. Okay, we know the Scripture says the wages of sin is death. It's not always a physical death, but it's going to be a death to something in your life. It might be death to a relationship, or, you know, it leads to death. Sin leads to death. When we're dominated by the sinful nature, it's going to lead to death in our life. And it says that we will always be hostile toward God. When we're dominated by the sinful nature, we are hostile toward God. Contrasting that is to be controlled by the Spirit. When we are controlled by the Spirit, it says we will think about things that please the Spirit. And it says that we will experience life and peace. So here's your choice when I'm saying choose today. You want to be controlled or dominated by the sinful nature or controlled by the Spirit. You are actually choosing between death and life, or death and life and peace. That's the choice being made when we're talking about being controlled by the Spirit of God or dominated by the flesh. Let me continue on with verses 9 through 13. It says, but you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. And Christ lives within you, so even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, and just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do, for if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Okay, so here I want to, as we continue on, this talks about being putting to death the deeds of the sinful nature. It says we're not under obligation to live according to the nature of sin. We can put to death the deeds of the sinful nature when we are being controlled by the Spirit. And then verses 14 through 17 to conclude this passage of Scripture. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you've received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now we call Him Abba Father, for His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are His children, we are His heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share His glory, we must also share His suffering. Okay, so in this we see when we are led by the Spirit, we are actually children of God, or children of God will be led by the Spirit. That's, you know, back and forth there. Children of God will be led by the Spirit. And it says that we are affirmed by the Spirit. The Spirit of God actually declares to us or confirms in us that we are His children. In verse 16 again, for His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm we are God's children. When you're a child of God, you know it because the Spirit of God affirms that on the inside of you. And also it says that we will share in His glory, but we will also share in His suffering. And we'll look a little bit more at that later on. So let's go on to talk about fellowship of the Spirit. Here's the one verse I'm going to put up on the screen for you. 2 Corinthians 3:14 says this, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. That word fellowship, it's translated a variety of ways. One translation uses the word communion, the communion of the Holy Spirit. It comes from the Greek word koinonia. You've probably heard that word before. Many times churches that have developed small groups have called them koinonia groups because, you know, that Greek word koinonia means fellowship. Here's actually the definition from the Greek dictionary printed in your notes. Koinonia is partnership. That is literally participation or social intercourse or pecuniary, I think I'm saying that word right, which means financially, benefaction. It means to communicate or communication, communion, distribution, and fellowship. Those last four words are how it's often translated. You either communicate, communion, distribution, or fellowship. And so that's how we get the English word, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. But we can see that it is something that is intended to be intimate, an intimate interaction. It's not just a cordial relationship or just a shallow relationship. This word signifies something as being intimate. Even the word intercourse, oftentimes we relate that to physical between a husband and a wife. And I'm going to kind of steer you towards, not because of this word, but steer you towards thinking a marital relationship. You'll see, as we continue in this message today, you'll see why I'm making this comparison of a relationship with the Holy Spirit as being like a marital relationship. But that's the kind of intimacy that is intended with this Greek word koinonia, or the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, to have the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And so in a marital relationship, you know, you love, you live with in an understanding way. We are instructed, particularly husbands with their wives, live with your wife in an understanding way. And so this is what we want to do with the Spirit of God too. We want to live with the Spirit of God in an understanding way. And the Scripture instructs us, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, this is something that I find amazing in marital relationships. You know, I've been around long enough. You know, you don't need to think, well, who's he talking about when he's saying this? But I've been around long enough to see husbands and wives treat each other pretty poorly. And the interesting thing is when you treat your spouse poorly or with disrespect or grieving your spouse, you know what? That's what comes back to you. I can't figure that out. Why a husband would want to be mean to his wife? Because typically it comes back then. Why not be nice to her and then she's going to be nice back to you? I mean, doesn't that make sense? You know, it's the same way with the Spirit of God. If we're continually grieving the Spirit of God, how is he going to want to even desire to respond positively to us, to lead us and guide us into all truth, to reveal things that are to come? When we're continually grieving him, Excuse me. So we need to learn how to live with the Holy Spirit in an understanding way so that we are not causing him to grieve. The particular scripture that speaks about that, possibly grieving the Holy Spirit or causing him sorrow, is Ephesians chapter 4, excuse me, verses 17 through 32. Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm just going to start with verses 17 through 19. With the Lord's authority, I say this. Live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life of God gives them, because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. Now, note here that Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, is saying this is how the Gentiles live. But he's speaking to Christians, and he's saying, don't do this. Okay, so there's the possibility of believers that are living like they're not believers. There are believers that are living like the Gentiles. He said, don't do it any longer. Live no longer. Your lives are to be changed. Now, you're not supposed to be living according to the sinful nature anymore. You're supposed to be living as controlled by the Holy Spirit. And so here he's saying, this is how the Gentiles are living. We'll just put this up on the screen here. Closed minds, hard hearts, living in darkness. Now, I want you to think about last week as we read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we were talking about, you know, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it been imagined by the mind all that God has prepared for them who love him. But God has given us his Spirit to reveal these things to us. Okay, so if we're living as the world with closed minds, hard hearts, living in darkness, do you think we're going to see those things that God has prepared for us? Do you think we're going to perceive them by the Spirit if we're causing this Holy Spirit grief? I don't think so. I don't think we could expect that. And so here's why Paul is saying, don't live that way any longer. Instead, we'll go to verses 20. Well, okay, I want to put this one up too. The Gentiles were living in no shame, living for lustful pleasure, as described in that passage. And then verses 20 through 24, it says, but that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Okay, so here it's talking about letting the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. And we'll see how we can do that in a little bit. We'll see how we allow the Spirit of God to renew our thoughts and our attitudes. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Don't continue on in this old former manner of life, but let him renew you. Okay, and then verses 20 through 24 I just read, and then verses 25 through, how far do I want to go? 25 through 32, I guess, through the end. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. For anger gives a foothold to the devil. But if you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good, hard work, and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be encouragement to those who hear them. Okay, so before we go on, we'll just put this one up. This is talking about lying, anger, stealing, language. These are the things that are addressed that is going to be, as we find out here, offensive. Not only to other people, you're hurting other people, but this is offensive. This causes sorrow, grief to the Holy Spirit, as it says in verse 30 then, and do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. So get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. Okay, so do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way that you live. What we're doing is we're understanding, we're living in an understanding way with the Spirit of God. That's what we're looking at this morning. What is it? And I want you to understand what we are, as I'm describing these things and what Paul is doing here, he's not starting another set of commandments to add to the Ten Commandments. Actually, all of these are, you know, would be part of the Ten Commandments, but they're all actually summed up in the one commandment that love your neighbor as yourself. And that's what Jesus said. It's the greatest, along with love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. The love is the fulfillment of the law. We see that in Scripture. And so these are all fulfilled in that law of love. But the point of it is these are the things that we find out are offensive to the Spirit of God. And so it says, don't bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit. Don't treat him with such disrespect that way, with these things, with lying, with anger, with stealing, with language, foul language. Don't do that. Okay, so let's continue on with verses in Galatians chapter 5 and verses 16 through 26. And in this passage, we will see how it is that our minds can be renewed, our thoughts and attitudes can be changed, can be renewed to be in line with the Spirit of God. But we will also see that there is a conflict, a continuous conflict going on the inside of us. It's part of our understanding why we desire things we do and what to do about it. Two forces at war, Galatians 5, 16 through 26. I'm going to start with just 16 through 18 first. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. Okay, so first it starts out saying, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. And the reality is that the sinful nature wants to do evil. We're going to find out what to do with that sinful nature. It's still there, so we've got to deal with it. But we'll find out what to do. But verses 19 through 21 then are going to show the results of following the desires of the sinful nature. Again, I'm putting the choice up to you today. Choose this day, controlled by the sinful nature or controlled by the Spirit of God, directed by the Spirit of God. Life and blessing or life and peace with the Spirit of God or death and destruction by following the ways of the flesh. Here it says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, verse 19, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, so, you know, bottom line of this, the results of following the desires of the sinful nature, these are realities that you will see in the individual's life or in our own life if we're allowing the sinful nature to control us or living according to that nature of sin. But the bottom line of it here is you'll not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, you know, I want to be careful with this because here, again, it's talking to Christians saying, don't live this way. So in other words, there can be the possibility of living this way, even though you've given your life to Christ. But the point of it is, when it says, not inherit the kingdom of God, I don't know that I can absolutely connect that to the words of Jesus when in John chapter 3 he said, you must be born again to see the kingdom of God. You will not enter into the kingdom of God if you have not been born again. This is talking about inheriting the kingdom of God. I don't know if it is absolutely complete, but the point of it is, at the same time I'm saying that complete in its comparison, I didn't finish my thought. At the same time I'm saying that, I don't want to give you freedom to be off the hook so you can say, well, I can still sin and I'll make it to heaven. I'm not wanting to give you that hook or give you off that hook. You know, I would wish that we would all be so serious as to say, you know what, if I continue sinning, and I think the word there is in continue, it's in lifestyle, it's not, I sinned once, I lost my salvation, now how can I make it back? I don't think it's that easy that we lose our salvation. But the point of it is, if we keep on with the attitude, well, I can still be sinning, maybe I won't inherit the kingdom, but I'll still be in the kingdom. I'll still, you know, go to heaven. I might not get as much goods or whatever. I don't know exactly what that inherit the kingdom means. It takes a bunch more study than I've been able to give to it at this point. But don't let yourself off the hook saying, well, just so long as I'm in the kingdom, you know, that's the big thing. I would think we'd look at sin with the attitude of, you know, I keep doing this, I might not be saved. And the reality of this is if this is a lifestyle, a habitual lifestyle, it might indicate that you're not yet saved. It might be saying something about your nature, that you do not yet have a renewed nature. And so, you know, let's look at these things and I guess examine ourselves with these things and say, man, is there some changing that needs to go on? Am I a believer, but yet I'm still giving into the flesh too often? Or maybe I haven't given my life to Christ. Maybe I haven't received His salvation. Maybe my nature hasn't been made new. I think there's some honest evaluation that we ought to do, not just because we were raised in a Christian family, it means we're Christians, mean we're going to heaven. And not just because you were baptized, or not just because you were confirmed, or not just because someone put your name on a roll, church roll, that you're going to heaven. That's not it, people. So let's make sure that we have that relationship with the Lord in which we are changed, we are renewed, and we are then living by the Spirit of God. Okay, also then in verses 22 through 23, we'll see the results of following the Holy Spirit. This is a whole lot better, people. If we're making the choice today, let's go for this stuff. Verse 22, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Now, when we're talking about living by the Spirit, or when we're talking about our hearts, our minds being renewed, our attitudes being renewed, I think this is what's going to renew your attitude. Letting the Holy Spirit control you, letting the Holy Spirit direct you, letting His fruit come out of you, you're going to respond to things a whole lot different if you have peace rather than anxiety, or if you have joy. If you're responding in love rather than stealing from other people or in envy or those kinds of things, that's what's going to renew your mind and your attitude. So you're no longer living as a Gentile, but you're going to be living under the direction and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. This is the resulting, the fruit, the renewed thoughts and attitudes as a result of the fruit of the Spirit being manifest in our life. And let me just say this, fruit is born, not produced. You understand what I'm saying? A fruit tree, an apple tree out in the orchard doesn't sit there and work and work and work on letting this, you know, getting this apple out. Bloop, there comes an apple. The tree just stands there and the life flowing juices come up out of the ground through the tree into that apple, and the tree stands there and the fruit comes. The fruit is just born by the tree. The fruit comes out of the tree. It's not produced by the tree. Can you see the difference? So it is with us. We don't have to work up love in our lives if the Spirit of God is resident there and having control. We're just allowing His fruit to come out of us. We don't have to work up joy. We're just allowing the fruit of the Spirit to flow out of us. We don't have to work up self-control. I've got self-control. You know, we fold our hands, close our eyes. I've got self-control. No, you're just willing it. Just allow the Spirit of God to give you a different heart, a different mind, a different attitude, and self-control is going to be part of the fruit that comes out of your life as a result of that. Okay, so does that help? Oh, good. Such an overwhelming, really helped people today. All right, So here's what we got to do. Where do I want to go? Verses 25 and 26 then. I'll start back with verse 24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and the desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoking one another or be jealous of one another. This talks about what we have to do with that nature of sin. What we have to do with that, those desires to do sin, to please our sinful nature, we got to crucify those things. Those passions and desires, nail them to the cross with Jesus. That's where they were nailed. We need to see that. We need to see our sinful nature and our desires, our passions, nailed to the cross with Jesus. Crucify them. This, people, is where we're going to suffer with him. Remember we read about enjoying all his blessing, but also suffering with him? Well, this is where we suffer with Jesus. We crucify that old sinful nature. We nail it to the cross with him. Follow the Spirit's leading in every part of your life. So, you know, if there's one point that I want you to highlight in these notes today, this is it. Follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Every part of your life. Follow the Spirit's leading. Okay, that's going to make all the difference. And we're finding out what it is to live with the Holy Spirit in an understanding way. Okay, we want him to be satisfied with our lives. We want him to be fulfilled in our lives. Okay, so we will follow the Spirit's leading in all of our lives. And then here's the big question for the day. Are you in fellowship or are you in conflict with the Holy Spirit? Are you in fellowship or are you in conflict? Remember, as we started this passage of Scripture, it says that these are two forces that are at war, our old sinful nature and the Holy Spirit's desire. They're at war. So which are you following? Again, I'm going to put the question up. You know, choose today. Choose today who you're going to follow, the nature of the flesh or the sinful nature. Well, while we're this close, let me go on to Galatians 6. This isn't in your notes. You can add this. But Galatians 6 and 7 through 9. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. So it's not like we can live forever after the flesh and get away with it without its death and destruction coming to our life. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked in his justice. So instead, live to please the Spirit, and it's going to bring its harvest of life to us. Romans chapter 7, we'll talk about the trouble with the sin nature. This is where the trouble comes, and it's very plain here what's going on, why we do have trouble with that nature of sin. So, you know, I want us to grab hold of this concept and understand it. Romans 7, starting with verse 14, I'm just going to read 14 through 20 first. So the trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritual and good. The trouble is with me, for I am all too human, a slave to sin. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know that what I'm doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I'm not the one doing it. It is sin living in me that does it. And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. But I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I'm not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. Okay, so here's what we see going on. The trouble with the sinful nature, the problem is sin is still living. In other words, we haven't crucified it yet. If sin is still living on the inside of us, it means it is because we have not nailed it to the cross with Christ. We've not offered up that sin nature and said, you know, death to you, death to you. I've used this illustration before. It's funny enough that it's worth repeating. You think about a person who is dead, deceased. They're laying in the coffin. And, you know, I'm talking about a man here, okay? And this scantily clad woman walks by, strutting her stuff. I don't care how scantily clad or how beautiful she is, that old man isn't going to get up and go, woo-hoo-hoo! Yeah! Ain't she sexy? He's not. Why? Why doesn't he do that? Because he's dead. And that's what we need to do when we are enticed by the sinful nature for whatever it is. And we're all enticed in different ways. But if we have crucified, if we have put that thing to death, we're not going to go, whoa, 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 for that sin. We're going to. The sin will present itself. And we'll be dead to that sin because we've nailed that old crucified flesh to the cross. And we won't respond the way the devil wants us to respond, to create his death in our life. That's why Satan keeps presenting the temptation. And it's not a sin to be tempted, people. It's not a sin to be tempted. But when you're tempted, you know, the scripture says God is not going to allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will give you a way of escape in order that you may be able to endure it. Okay, so God isn't, you know, with that temptation, that's when you go, okay, I am being tempted. Lay down in the coffin, flesh. See yourself as dead so that you're not responding to that temptation, whatever it is. And like I said, we all get tempted in different ways, but we've got to learn how to deal with it because God will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we're able. So he gives us a way of escape. So we've got to see and lay claim to and appropriate that way of escape. So the problem is sin living in me. It's not been fully crucified yet. And then verses 21 through 25, I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Now, if the scripture ended there, it'd be, you know, woe is me. This is awful. That's all there is. I just am continuously a slave to sin. It produces its death in me, and that's the way it is. But he goes on to say the answer. Don't you love it when the Bible gives you answers? Here's the answer. It says, the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is in my mind. I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. Then we already read in Romans chapter 8 how the spirit of the life-giving spirit has freed us from the power of sin. So we're no longer slaves to sin. But this is the problem that we have with the sinful nature is when sin is still living in us and we become a slave to sin. Now look at Romans. I also put this one on the screen. Romans 6:16 says, don't you realize that you become the slave of whoever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Choose today who you're going to serve. Choose today how you're going to live, by the nature of the sin, of sin and its passions and its desires, or under the control of the Holy Spirit. We don't have to be a slave to sin. That was the problem up in Romans 7. We saw that was the problem when we don't do what we want to do because we're a slave to sin. We haven't put it to death, but we don't have to be a slave to sin. We can choose to become a slave to righteousness rather than a slave to sin. Okay, back to my making a comparison of living with the Holy Spirit as in a marital relationship. I think we see this particularly in James chapter 4, excuse me, verses 4 through 10. James chapter 4 and verses 4 through 10. This starts out saying, you adulterers. Okay, how many of you would want to be addressed in a letter like that? And just, hey, you adulterers. But that's what he's saying. He says, you adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again, if you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. What do you think the scriptures mean when they say that the Spirit of God has placed within us, the Spirit God has placed within us is filled with envy, but he gives us even more grace to stand against such evil desires? As the scriptures say, God opposes the proud, but favors the humble. So humble yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter, and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. So again, this uses the word adultery, and we all understand that unfaithfulness in marriage is what's called adultery. And this is talking about adultery against God by being friends with the world, or adultery, as it says in verse 4 again. It says, adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? So when we're talking about living according to the desires of our flesh, those are the ways of the world that are really putting us against our relationship with the Lord and causing him to grieve because of our choice of living. And so, again, the friendship with the world is adultery against God. It makes us to be an enemy of God. We sing the song, you know, I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. And, you know, the scripture speaks about God having made us to be his friends. But, you know, so why would we live in such a way that would cause us to be his enemy? But that's what sin is, or the way of the world in our life. Or as Paul said to the Ephesians, no longer live as the Gentiles in the darkness of their understanding, you know, without shame. You know, don't live that way. Don't be an enemy of God. It says the Spirit in us is filled with envy. Or in other words, there is this jealous kind of relationship that God has for us. God doesn't want to share us with the world. The reason why is not because God is just some jealous God. It's because God doesn't want you hurt. He doesn't want the death and the destruction that comes as a result of you becoming friends with the world. God wants the righteousness that comes as a result of you being controlled by the Spirit of God. You know, I keep using that word controlled, but it's not that God takes control and is dominating. It's that you have given him that control. You have offered that up. This passage speaks about a divided loyalty. You have a divided loyalty. If you're messing with the world and still attempting to be in a relationship with God, that is a divided loyalty. So then it speaks about humble repentance. When it says here, humble yourselves before God. When it says, let there be tears for what you've done, let there be sorrow and deep grief, that's talking about a humble repentance. Let there be sadness instead of laughter, and gloom instead of joy. You know, there is the appropriate time for sadness. There is the appropriate time for tears. There is the appropriate time for sorrow, and that is the time of repentance. God, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry for the way I've offended you. I'm sorry for the way I've been hostile towards you. I'm sorry for making myself like an enemy of yours. I'm sorry for committing adultery against you, Lord. I'm sorry for my divided loyalty against you. You know, that's the time for the humble repentance. But then God, as he is, there is then the restoration. We see that in verse 10. Humble yourselves before God, and he will lift you up in honor. That's the restoration that God brings about as a result of our honest and true humble repentance. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. He will lift you up in honor. There's a song that we used to sing, and I didn't get this together soon enough to have Katie bring it out, but I guess we're going retro today. This is one of those songs. But you probably remember. If you do, sing it along with me, okay? It's really cool. I live by the Spirit of God within. I live by the Spirit of God. I live by the Spirit of God within. I live by the Spirit of God. I will not be conformed to the ways of the world. I will not be conformed to the ways of the world. Then the next verse is, transformed by the word of God. That's how I'm going to live. Transformed by the Word of God. That's how I'm going to live. Now sing the chorus. I live by the Spirit of God within. Oh yeah, I live by the Spirit of God. Uh-huh. I live by the Spirit of God within. I live by the Spirit of God. Sorry, that's just the joy of the Holy Spirit. You're just the fruit of the Spirit of joy flowing out of me. Sorry, I can't help myself. You're right. I'm not sorry. I'm not even sorry if I embarrass my children. I did. So, but you know, God wants that fruit of the Spirit in our lives. So we can be living lives of joy, not lives of sorrow. If there is the time of repentance, okay, the sorrow needs to be there. But then there's the restoration for us to be restored and to live our lives under the influence and the power of the Spirit of God. Let's learn to live with the Spirit of God in an understanding way. As we continue in this walk of the, you know, walking with the Spirit of God and developing our walk with the Spirit, let's understand what causes him sorrow and what causes him joy. Let's pray. Father, we are very glad for the clarity of the Scriptures that show us, so we don't have to ask questions about what's appropriate in our life and what is not. Your Scriptures make it very clear. And we also understand from the clarity of your Scriptures that we are not slaves to sin. We sometimes give in to it, and we need to repent from it. But we are not slaves to sin. We're going to put that nature of sin to death so that we can walk in a way that's totally not divided in our devotion to you or divided in our loyalty, but totally and completely yours, Lord. I pray that we would live by the Spirit of God within. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.